Hey, everybody. The school board issue is growing, and the National School Board Association of America issued a bizarre, unique, and unprecedented apology, and I put that in air quotes, against the moms and dads they call domestic terrorists. We talk about that, as well as Barack Hussein Obama weighing in on the culture wars. What is he doing? It's because Democrats are worried, and they're trying to turn things away from the current trajectory, which means we have to keep the pressure on. We talk about Ron DeSantis. We talk a little bit about Anthony Fauci in this episode. And we also get to briefly, and we don't do this comprehensively, but we kind of tease it a little bit. Why are more people dying than ever before? Not of COVID specifically, but just why are people dying? That's a very good question. And you can email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Email us directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank those of you that support us. I want to thank Sherry from Virginia for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Donette from Long Beach, California for supporting us. Thank you. I want to thank Hunter for supporting us at Austin, from Austin, Texas. I want to thank Lauren from Mesa, Arizona. Thank you. I want to thank Elaine from Omaha, Nebraska. Now, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you guys say, Charlie, I like what you're doing. I want to be part of the team. So you can become a team member at charliekirk.com/support. And we really appreciate the monthly support that allows us to hire more staff, to count out at every single month. And you guys, look, you know what we're doing here. It's two podcasts a day. One on Saturday, one on Sunday. We're working really hard, and you make it possible. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to thank Howard from Idaho. Thank you, Robert and Christine from Thousand Oaks, California. Thank you, Lee from Hawaii. Thank you. I want to thank Kate from Pennsylvania. Thank you. And I want to thank Carla from Lubbock, Texas. I want to thank John from Oklahoma. Thank you. And I want to thank Jenna from Carlsbad, California, and also Lynette from Texas. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting us. We play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Two things with Turning Point USA. One, come to America Fest, everybody, December 18, December 19, December 20, 21 at tpusa.com/AMFEST. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out right now. Get your tickets. They are running thin. We have Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Donald Trump Jr., Kaylee McEnany, and more, tpusa.com/AMFEST. You guys also should start a high school or college chapter. If you're young, listen to this, or you're a parent that has kids out there, go to tpusa.com and start a high school or college chapter today. We have the support network to do that. Our educational movement is growing in numbers thanks to all of you. So please help us out at tpusa.com. Start a high school group, start a college group today. Email us directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. We go through school boards. We go through the tightening Virginia governor's race, a new poll that shows the Republican is leading, the National School Board Association of America, and why are so many people dying? Comprehensive, action-packed episode. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Okay, so let's go into this story here. The Virginia governor's race is quickly tightening. The Virginia governor's race is statistically tied, and a new poll actually shows that Terry McAuliffe is losing and Youngkin, the Republican challenger, is winning. Now, these polls can be all over the place, but we've been keeping our eye on the Virginia governor's race, and we just did a massive event in Virginia where we had 3,000 people show up in Loudoun County, Virginia. New poll alert, according to the University of Mary Washington. Now, Connor, that's not some right-wing institution, right? That's not as if it was, you know, let's say, Donald Trump organization doing the poll or whatever, right? Okay. So it says that Youngkin is leading in the polls with 48%, McAuliffe, 43%. What does the Real Clear Politics average now show? That's always very interesting to look at. But the number one issue, the number one issue as to why all of a sudden the Virginia governor's race has been flipped upside down is schools. New polling shows that parents of K through 12 children, that means suburban women and fathers in Virginia, 56% of them want a Republican governor. I can't imagine that this is not a recipe for victory for the Republican. Virginia has become a blue state. Virginia has become a place that Republicans used to dominate. And because of the growth of the Kingdom of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia, in Loudoun County and Fairfax County in particular, these races have just been so frustrating and seemingly untouchable. But because of the new rise of the mom and dad showing up to school board meetings, we are now seeing a backlash and response politically that is profound and that it's real. And so you look at the polling that is coming out. And again, polling, who knows how accurate some of this is, but you can get a gauge, you can get an idea of how realistic some of these things are. And it now shows that Democrat Terry McAuliffe is down in the polls. And here's how I know that the Democrats are worried. Here's how I know the Democrats are getting nervous. They are bringing in Barack Hussein Obama to try and bail out Terry McAuliffe by saying, we don't have time to be wasted on these phony trumped-up culture wars, the fake outrage, right-wing media peddles up to juice the ratings. Come join me in Martha's Vineyard. It's a very sophisticated, vaccinated crowd. We do a great job for the country. Cuts 5, Obama was stumping for Terry McAuliffe in Virginia. As Terry McAuliffe is floundering in the polls, schools, 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 everybody. And I am proud to say, on this show at The Charlie Kirk Show and our work at Turning Point USA, we have been on the cutting edge of the education issue. We have always said this is the number one issue in the country, and finally people are waking up and realizing it, and I am so happy to see this. For anyone listening to this right now, maybe you're driving in your car in District 214 Chicago, maybe you are in Minneapolis, maybe you're in North Dakota, I want to encourage you, show up to the school board meetings, show up to your local education planning sessions. Care about what your kids are being taught. Show up to the PTA meeting. You are changing the political dynamic for the better in this country, where what used to be a deep blue state of Virginia is now looking like it very well could have a Republican governor. And yes, there'll be shenanigans and tomfoolery and ballots being sent all over the place. We very well might be disappointed. But I'm flagging this right now that we are what? 8 days out? Ish, 8 days out from the Virginia governor's race. It's next Tuesday. It's looking like this is going to be tighter number. This should be a 10-point race, but because of schools, education, CRT, wokeism, not to mention the Loudoun County School District School Board moving the rapist, the man who thinks he was a woman, who raped the ninth grader to another school, who raped again. But Obama says that's a trumped-up culture war. Democrats are nervous. They know that the school issue is one of their greatest vulnerabilities. Play cut 5.
We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars, this fake outrage that right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings, and the fact that he's willing to go along with it instead of talking about serious problems that actually affect serious people, that's a shame.
Serious problems that really affect serious people. You mean like ninth grade girls getting raped in Loudoun County schools are not serious issues, Barack Obama? Not all of us can live in Martha's Vineyard and send the two spoiled brats that you call daughters to whatever Ivy League institution you want. Yeah, you know, some people have to go to public school. Your wife, Michelle Obama, would know something about that. She went to Whitney Young in Chicago, was lucky enough to be a beneficiary of magnet schools and charter schools. And she didn't have to go to some of the more difficult schools in Chicago, like going to Simeon or going to any of the schools that have much lower likelihood of actually achieving success. But the Obama family actually was beneficiaries of school choice. and of education mobility. But he says this is fake outrage. Right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings. Trumped-up culture wars. They're worried. That clip of Obama, he's mad. That's not the magnanimous Netflix Obama. This is like 2010. This is like 2011-ish Obama. Look, if there's a road or a bridge, you did not build that. Somebody else made that happen. They are bringing in the Obama cartel because they know that moms and dads are standing up in record numbers to take back their government. And this is all tied into a very bizarre, unprecedented news item that happened late on Thursday or Friday, where the National School Board Association of America came out and they apologized for their letter. The National School Board Association of America comes out and they apologized for issuing the letter that called moms and dads domestic terrorists. Now, are they sorry for what they said, or are they sorry for the backlash they're receiving? Those are two totally different things. Do they regret what they said, or do they regret the essence of what they said, or do they regret that all of a sudden they realize that they have only strengthened the anti-fragile school board movement? And I think we pinpointed that on this show earlier than ever. As you all know, there's been extensive media and other attention recently around our letter to President Biden regarding threats and acts of violence against school board members. Their letter had almost zero notations of that. Zero. This came out on Friday evening, by the way. They wanted a news dump. We wanted to write you directly to address this matter. On behalf of the National School Board Association, underlined, emphasized, we regret and apologize for the letter. To be clear, the safety of school board members and other public school officials and educators and students is our top priority, and they remain important work to be done on this issue. However, there is no justification for some of the language included in this letter. We should have had a better process in place to allow for consultation on a communication of this significance. We apologize also for the strain and stress the situation has caused you and your organization. Yeah, you mean like the FBI? Oh, by the way, we apologize that the Patriot Act is being used against like a 42-year-old mom in Loudoun County, Virginia that doesn't want her daughter to be raped, but we'll have a better process in the future. As we've reiterated since the letter was sent, we deeply value not only the work of local school boards that make important contributions within our communities, but also the voices of parents who should and must continue to be heard when it comes to discussions about their children's education, health, and safety. We're going to be better moving forward, they say. Democrats are in defense. The school issue is number one. We've exposed this regime. We know how to beat them. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to ReliefFactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That is ReliefFactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at ReliefFactor.com. The school board issue has now turned into the defining political issue of this year. The National School Board Association continues in their apology. Now, this is a very important thing. They're not apologizing because they regret what they said. They apologize with the political fallout that has resulted from it because they declared war on moms and dads across the country, asking the government to use the Patriot Act. And here's the most stunning thing. The government agreed. Merrick Garland, in front of the U.S. Congress, I don't even think he read the National School Board Association memorandum. We were mentioned in it. Turning Point USA was mentioned in it because of our school board watch list. The National School Board Association continues with their Friday night apology. We're going to do better going forward. We're engaged in a formal review. Let me just stop. This is like vomit-inducing consultant diversity, equity, inclusion. We're going to do better going forward. It's all like workshop. A formal review of our processes and procedures. Okay, so what was the review of how this came out? Was this some sort of 24-year-old brown educated double mask wearing non-binary intern that was like, I'm going to ask the government to use the Patriot Act. Like, okay, that sounds a great idea. But what was the process? We will announce specific improvements soon to ensure that there is improved coordination and consultation amongst our staff, our board, and our members across the country. The review will include not only the procedures or the proceedings leading to this letter, but also other related concerns raised by members even before the letter was sent. We'll have more to share with you soon after our review continues. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thank you. They're not sorry at all. They are in free fall. The National School Board Association got revealed as an organization that views moms and dads like Timothy McVeigh, Eric Rudolph, and the Unabomber. They view moms and dads showing up and complaining, exercising their First Amendment rights. It's like, okay, now let's go use the FBI against them. Is the Department of Justice going to adjust their letter? That's the real question, isn't it? The Department of Justice is now willing to use federal police force to go after moms and dads that they don't like. This is the issue that is changing the political dynamics in our country. And how many times have we said on this show, Connor, school choice, school choice, school choice. We need people to have transparency with their schools. And Republicans were too busy talking about corporate tax cuts. What else do Republicans talk about anymore? I don't quite know, honestly. Waste of time, most of them. And so, but finally, there's this issue where, oh, this affects everybody, especially the current demographic that we are told that you're struggling with, suburban voters. Now, this Virginia governor's race, if they hit their benchmarks with suburban voters that it looks like they're going to do in suburban Virginia, and they can run up the score in rural Virginia, Youngkin's going to win. Now, again, they're going to have shenanigans and tomfoolery and all this. We'll see kind of how that all plays out. New emails have come out, though, around the Loudoun County, Virginia incident. All the board members were informed that there was a male student posing as a female student who raped her, and then they did nothing about it. In fact, they reallocated the male student. Good afternoon, board members. This is a new email that has been obtained. The purpose of this email is to provide you with information regarding an incident that occurred at Stonebridge High School. This afternoon, a female student alleged that a male student sexually assaulted her in the restroom. The LCDSD is investigating the matter. Secondary to the assault investigation, the female student's parents responded to the school and caused a disruption by using threatening and profane language that was overheard by staff and students. Yeah, excuse me, if your daughter gets raped, I think some profane language is in store. Yeah, I think a little bit of commotion is warranted. Additional law enforcement units responded to the school to assist with the parent. Oh, that's the real threat, right? Not the rapist against the ninth grader, but the school board is like, okay, we need to deploy the shock troops against the father whose daughter was raped. The school's counseling team is providing services from students who witnessed the parent's behavior. The alleged victim is being tended to by LCSO. The LCSO is investigating both incidents. Further updates may not be available. Here is Scott Ziegler, the head of the Loudoun County Public Schools, conflating a father who's upset that his daughter gets raped and the rape incident. And guess what? The Loudoun County Public Schools and Scott Ziegler, who should be in prison for criminal negligence and conspiracy against the children that he's sworn to protect, he sends the man who thinks he was a woman to another school and they raped again. That's the state of schools for Barack Hussein Obama, who says these are trumped up fake culture wars. And the Democrat Party is collapsing in front of our very eyes. Make no mistake, Virginia's governor's race is one of the most important for them. It's close to D.C. They want to make sure they're always in coordination and collusion. There's tons of lobbyists that live there. If we're able to pick this off, this is a earthquake, harbinger, political tsunami, things to come. And it's all thanks to the schools. Thanks to you. You have the power to challenge these maniacs. Internet privacy is extremely important. New news out shows that Google has been colluding with the federal government to hand over your data if you might have searched something wrong into the search bar. So what are you doing to protect your search history? Well, this is why you need ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. It's in fact even worse than that. It's inviting someone into the bathroom, which is really weird and creepy. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. ISPs can sell this data and information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door and fire up the app and click one button. I use it on all my devices. Every device, I have those beautiful three letters with a rectangle around it. It's rated number one by CNET and Tech Radar. Here's the cool thing. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Here's the thing. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. ExpressVPN for me has been a game changer to be able to know that the tech companies or the government, they have to go through a whole nother barrier to try to spy on us. When we see with the new announcements out of DC, if you spoke at a school board meeting lately, you better get a VPN. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Charlie today. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's extremely important to anonymize your online activity. expressvpn.com/Charlie. Merrick Garland admitted that the faux letter, the fake letter, the concocted artificial complaint from the National School Board Association was the reason why he said that we're going to start using the FBI to go after moms and dads. Jim Jordan, one of the few good guys in Congress, great friend, phenomenal person, cut 23. He's been all over it. Play tape.
So I read the letter, and we have been seeing over time threats.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't ask you. So you read the letter. That's your source?
So let me be clear. This is not a prosecution or an
investigation. Is there some study, some effort, some investigation someone did that said there's been a disturbing uptick, or you just take the words of the National School Board Association?
Well, the National School Board Association, which represents thousands of school boards and school board members, says that there are these kind of threats.
And now the National School Board Association is not just a little bit apologizing. You read this letter from the National School Board Association. This is a full-on French-style retreat. I mean, they are going back to their villages. They are done. The National School Board Association is surrendering. They are waving the white flag. You read this letter from the National School Board Association they sent on Friday, retracting the other one. They're like, we're done. We are suing for peace. We're sorry. Because yes, even Democrat moms and dads are reading this National School Board Association letter and saying, wait, what a sec? Hold on, what? I know some of these people just showing up and complaining that are wondering and worrying about the direction of our schools. And now you're going to go use the Patriot Act against them? Like, we're not going to put up with that. So we know the direction of where this is going. And the next move, of course, is a full-on propaganda campaign from the media to try and blur the lines. They did this through a new podcast they have called South Lake. NPR, National Public Radio, came out. And they said that they had this whole article over the weekend where they came out and they said, this is what it's like to be on the front lines of the American culture war with this mother. And she had a daughter, a picture of their daughter with her back turned to the camera as if she couldn't even look into the, you know, the eyes of the camera because it's so difficult to be a school board member. Well, guess what? If you're not up to the task of being challenged for putting in critical race theory or pornographic material, then resign. This is the new front lines. Cut 22, there's nothing in this memorandum which has any effect on the kinds of curriculum that are taught or the ability of parents to complain. Mike Johnson going back and forth with Merrick Garland, play cut 22.
And I want to be clear once again that there's nothing in this memorandum which has any effect on the kinds of curriculums that are taught or the ability of parents to complain about the kinds of...
I understand your position on the free speech of parents.
Not a position.
Wait, just a minute. The question is...
So the ruling class, the educational cartel, they're not really even sure how to deal with this. And the Loudoun County schools, now being the battleground swing state of the entire state of Virginia, they transferred a boy to different high schools where 3 months later he rapes another child. He dressed as a girl, assaulted, and then sodomized a child in the bathroom. The school board and the superintendent covers it up and told the parents when they were voting on the new trans policy that everything's fine. And then they say the biggest threat is actually the father who's showing up and complaining. This issue is changing political dynamics in our country for the better. We're finally taking back local government. We're finally looking less at Congress and more at the local schools. And Democrats are very worried about that. Democrats have never wanted states or localities, municipalities or cities to take their rightful place in the partnership of a federal contract that actually is the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. So many people, including a lot of people listening to my voice right now in North Dakota, maybe in Idaho, maybe in South Dakota, Wyoming, we have been lied to by the propagandists, by the people in charge, to believe that the states have very little to no power. The states actually have the authority and the sovereignty not delegated to the United States Constitution. Read the 10th Amendment. Any powers will then be left to the states and to the people. And we have been overly propagandized to look at Washington, D.C., to look at Silicon Valley for our solutions, but not anymore. And that's what's so unique and fascinating, to be perfectly honest with you, about this school board story. That's what's so special about the school board story, is that it's moms and dads are like, yeah, I get that whole thing. No more. You know, we're finishing an essay here, and we're going to be publishing it soon. A long essay. It'll be a booklet called How We Win. It was inspired by some very favorable reaction with the speech I gave over the summer about how we win. And part of it is influencing buildings that you drive by every single day. Meaning if you drive by city council, you drive by a school board meeting, go worry about that building a lot more than the one that you see on TV, the distant one, the Congress. Instead, focus on the places that are having meaningful impact on the things that you actually interact with every single day. And elections locally have consequences. And I want to see more Republican governors start to step up the way that Ron DeSantis has in Florida. Ron DeSantis has been hitting home run after home run. Why every Republican governor in the country is not like Ron DeSantis is beyond me. There's a few very good Republican governors. Governor Gianforte in Montana is doing a great job. Ron DeSantis is right up there, though. Being in the battleground state of Florida, he is saying that we are not going to stand for vaccine mandates. We will stand for medical freedom. We'll stand for the liberty of our citizens. And Ron DeSantis has now announced he is seeking to create legislation that will reward a $5,000 bonus to unvaccinated police officers who relocate to Florida. He's literally trying to hire police officers from Washington and Oregon. Someone give this man a parade. This is what leadership looks like. Play cut 16.
So in the next legislative session, I'm going to hopefully sign legislation that gives a $5,000 bonus to any out-of-state law enforcement that relocates in Florida. So NYPD, Minneapolis, Seattle, if you're not being treated well, we'll treat you better here. You can fill important needs for us, and we'll compensate you as a result.
So if you are a police officer in the city of Seattle or in the city of Portland, and you're saying, man, my life has been ruined because I don't want to get vaccinated, Florida will pay you to move to Florida. How cool is that? That is leadership. That is creativity. That's a state-based model to solution. The similar as the way the Nebraska Attorney General says we are going to allow ivermectin to be prescribed, same as Jeff Landry in Louisiana, same sort of thing. Now, I want to get to this story, and do we have the full Alex Berenson? Can we have the full Alex Berenson clip? I know it's like 2 minutes long, but it's worth it. We'll play the short one. But I saw this clip on Tucker Carlson's show, and Alex Berenson is a national treasure. We've been trying to get him on our program for quite some time. We've been covering this alongside Tucker Carlson and very few others. But Alex Berenson went on Tucker's show and reported that all deaths are up, not just COVID deaths, but overdoses, cardiac arrests. There is a stunning increase in just overall deaths in our country, and no one really wants to explain it. No one really wants to look into it. You think that might be a little bit more important into Trump's golf game in Mar-a-Lago? Like, which one's more important? And the media, if they were worth anything, which of course they're not, they're a cartel of propagandists, they would say, wait a second, why are more people dying after a mass vaccination campaign? I'm not connecting the two, okay? We've got to ask the question. This is just a small clip. The two-minute clip is beyond compelling. But this is just a very simple question that needs to be said out loud and said slowly so journalists can understand you. Why are more people dying in every single category? Why is no one looking into this? Play cut 15.
But in the last few months, even as COVID deaths fell in the spring, deaths in that age group remain very high in the U.S. This is, and again, there's a couple possibilities. One possibility is that some COVID deaths are being miscounted, although we count COVID deaths very aggressively. Another possibility is that it's these lockdown slash drug overdose deaths, although Europe doesn't have nearly the problem that we do with that. Another possibility, and I hesitate even to say this out loud, Tucker, because I know what the response will be, is that this is cardiac related and it is something to do with the mass vaccination campaigns.
Alex Berenson worked for the New York Times. He was a reporter and is not some sort of right wing, you know, journalist. He's wrote phenomenal stories, one after the other. And now, of course, he's being attacked from every single direction. Alex Berenson has an amazing unrelated book, by the way, called Tell Your Children, The Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. It is, for those of you that are really pro-weed and pro-marijuana, you need to read Alex Berenson's book. It will make you reconsider the legalization of marijuana. It's terrific. It's very, very compelling. But Berenson is now coming out and he's saying, why is no one talking about the sudden and inexplicable increase in deaths across America? That's a really interesting story if anyone can kind of figure that out. And of course, Berenson goes there with the mass vaccination campaign. I'm not even trying to connect the two because you have causation and correlation you don't know. But you do look at the United Kingdom numbers lately that have come out. They're awful. Majority of their deaths are fully vaccinated. And yes, part of this entire equation is, why are we not even allowed to talk about the untreated aspect of this? So Berenson is right over the target here. And if you go look at our public health authorities, oh, I'm sorry, Fauci's too busy torturing beagles, I guess. He's too busy letting like Tunisian flies eat dogs alive. Then saying, why are death rates going up? There's an embargo on the truth is what is happening. Of course, this program, we try to cut right through that. But I want your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. Why do you think deaths are going up in every single category? Cardiac arrest, hospital-related illnesses, medical malpractice, drug overdoses. Is it lockdown-related? Are there some other factors relating to it? Anytime deaths spike the way they have, there should be just kind of a timeout. And we need an aggressive and we need a factual, non-political investigation just to figure this out. If you've got a small business, you know that there's nothing more valuable than your time. So stop wasting your time on trips to the post office. Stamps.com makes it easy to mail and ship right from your computer. Save time and money with Stamps.com. Send letters and packages for less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're an office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer or standard printer. So go to Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with my promo code CHARLIE, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in CHARLIE. Stamps.com, promo code CHARLIE. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. Stamps.com. Promo code CHARLIE. We got two stories I want to get to. Ron DeSantis is just letting loose on Fauci. I think we're getting that tape as I talk, right? We'll end with that. But first, I want to get, we don't spend a lot of time on this show on tax policy. As you know, I'm kind of bored with that whole thing. 28% corporate tax versus 25% tax policy is obviously taxes are too high and we prefer free market solutions. But I don't like the overemphasis on that. With that being said, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has just proposed something that is so beyond anything that we have seen in the tax realm. It is something that deserves outrage, and we need to contact our officials. We have to say this is a no-go zone. I actually think even the most moderate Republican won't go for this. I really do. I think moderate Democrats as well. And this was kind of just like snuck in. And of course, I think she was on CNBC, right? The charlatans on CNBC, of course, didn't say anything. So play cut three. I want you to listen to this. I totally understand if you don't really understand the implications of this, so I'll help you through it. But once you kind of see the whole picture, This is this. We've never had a tax proposal like this. Not even Elizabeth Warren has proposed anything like this. Play cut three.
Senator Wyden and the Senate Finance Committee have been looking at that would impose a tax on unrealized capital gains on liquid assets held by extremely wealthy individuals, billionaires.
Unrealized capital gains. So what would that be? If your home appreciates $50,000 in value, you now have to pay the gains on that asset. Now, she says liquid assets. That's a bunch of nonsense. So if you make any money in the stock market and you don't sell that stock, she's now saying, no, you should still have to. If unrealized meaning you have not yet sold it. You haven't yet liquidated. You haven't yet realized that gain. Do you know how many unrealized gains people have in every single capacity? You would have to take an inventory of your art, of your clothes, of everything you have. Let's say you're a farmer. This is a good example. Let's say you're a farmer in Iowa or North Dakota. Unrealized liquid assets. So yes, you have a farm that you then appreciates in value. You have to pay tax on the gains even though you haven't sold the farm. So the margins are thin as is. They want to confiscate the wealth that you have, not just the, and I'm not even a huge fan of capital gains tax as it is. That's a different conversation for a different time. I think it should be adjusted based on income. But because if you're earning $50,000 a year and you hit it big on the stock market, I don't think that you should pay a 35%. What is capital gains? 25% now? 25% more or less? We got to keep our eyes on this. The current tax policy that's being proposed by this regime is wealth confiscation. And of course, it'll hurt the middle income tax. Because you know why? She'll say, oh, it'll go after billionaires. They will be able to find deductions and loopholes through green energy scams that will be accompanied with it. So they will not have to pay those sort of tax rates. But the people that are earning $100,000 or $200,000 a year, they'll be slammed by this. Play cut 24. Last thing, Ron DeSantis just loses his mind on Fauci with one of the greatest rants in the last couple months. Where is every Republican governor like DeSantis? They're cowards. Most Republicans are cowards. Ron DeSantis is courageous, and he is a hero. Play tape.
I cannot believe American tax dollars would go to treat those dogs the way those dogs are be treated. And, you know, I really think Fauci needs to be held accountable. These people, these bureaucrats, they don't get to just run wild and do whatever the hell they want to with our tax dollars. And so from funding gain of function research to treating these puppies with really unimaginable cruelty, I think that whole lot of them need to be cleaned out.
And DeSantis gets to the core of it. He gets to the core by saying bureaucrats, the unelected, unchecked branch of government, they don't just get to do whatever they want. But Fauci believes he can. Fauci believes at the head of the NIH CDC, being the mad scientist that he is, he believes that he can orchestrate and manipulate the levers of the federal government to his liking and his choosing. Fauci needs to be subpoenaed in front of Congress immediately, and we need to find out how many dogs were tortured, how many beagles were tortured. And does he get some sort of sadistic pleasure off of this? These are very legitimate questions. But Ron DeSantis hits it perfectly. The fourth branch of government. We have the executive, we have the legislative, the judicial, and the administrative state. The administrative state combines the power of all three branches into one. Time to hold them accountable, especially Anthony Fauci. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.